As you open your mind, let life be the thought. As you open your eyes, let life be the glow. As you open your ears, let life be the melody, layer after layer after layer. As you open your nose, let life be the scent. As you open your mouth, let life be the breath. And as you open your hands, let life be the flesh, layer after layer after layer. And as you open your heart, let life be the heat. And as you open your soul, let life be the torch. And as you open your being, let life be the juice, layer after layer after layer. Good evening, good morning, whatever time it is, you know what time it is. This is the Insight Hour brought to you by Tetrahedron Publishing, live h2o.org, for the concert of the millennium taking place in the online temple. For all of you, I would like to say hello, aloha. Yes, I'm home alone. Dr. Len Horowitz, the usual man of the hour, is in a place of psychic power. That's right, Sedona. He's preparing. He's got work to do. He's got a job, everybody. For me, my job is to give praises and thanks to the Creator that gives us the energy to do all that we do. And it's all coming to you as we live out this here 2008, as we prepare for election night. It is for me to pray that we all understand that politics is the science of citizenship, and the citizenship in the world, in your nation, in the kingdom. Oh, it all must be in order. I'm not quite sure how new, but I do know it has to take order. Yes, I want to start this off tonight by saying to you that in Psalms 1:1-6, I dedicate this show tonight. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Oh, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And the wind-up. As I told you last week, I'm going to say it again. Here is the truth of the moment, of the millennium, of the time through ages. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Oh, amen to that. And Heavenly Father, I just want to bless everybody out there in BBS Radio Land, and hope that perhaps we can spark up a conversation or two. I am hoping that you will feel me and that you will want to call and reveal to me some exciting news, you see. I'm not as got it all upstairs as to what's really going on, and so I must reach out to my listeners. If there's something you'd like to discuss or something you'd like to ask, please call me. Who am I? I'm Reverend Roxy, home alone for the next hour. My goodness, it has been. But I'll tell you something. Before I get to the amen, I want to bless you all again by letting you know that you are all survivors, and that in the future we will now thrive. Whatever decision is made, it will be made, and we must live with it. So I'm hoping, Father God, that everybody out there puts on their wisdom caps and makes good decisions in the coming week. Amen to that. All right. So with that said, you know, there's a lot of things we could talk about tonight. I had a friend that told me, why don't you get on it? You know, she heard about Boyd E. Graves, and she was listening to one of his wonderful lectures. And she was like, whatever happened to him? And I was like, well, I can't really answer it. I know he was high on Dr. Len Horowitz, and that they had all done some work together. I'm not sure exactly what's going on with Boyd these days, but I sure hope he hasn't given up on his suit against the United States government, because I do smell a rat over there. Oh, excuse me, but that, I think that's what's on the cover of that thing. It's a rat. He asks good questions. Anybody want to ask a good question about this man-made HIV epidemic that we are suffering from, please do call me. We can cut that up tonight. Anybody want to talk tonight about economics or voodoo economics or whatever kind of economics out there practicing? We could talk about that tonight. There's a lot of things in the news. Your hopes, your future, what you see happening, what changes you see coming down the pipe. Yes, it is cold and flu season, and they are telling you to line up, but what about these flu vaccines and all of these things? Is there any questions you might have about that? But maybe there are no questions, so then I'll just talk. Because tomorrow, that's October 29th, is it not? That is it. Today is Tuesday, but tomorrow will be Wednesday. I wonder if these people are sentimental. Is it possible we could have another crash? And if it did crash, would you be all right? Insight on that. What's going on? We now realize that the bailouts ain't bailing out nobody. Well, yeah, it is bailing out somebody. This is kind of like one of those movies where you know you can see it, you're watching it, and you see the bad guys walking out the back door, the good guys coming in the front door, finding out there's no more anything left. They done took it all. Well, where are they going? They'll be so heavy that if we just go to that back door, we should be able to see their backs walking away with all of that which belongs to us. So it's important that we make sure that we watch these guys. As a lot of people have said, conspiracy theorists and all, it's the greatest one of all, Mae Brussels said, follow that money. Follow that money. That's what she did. She followed the money. And every time she followed the money, wasn't it funny? Up come who? You know who. They've been in power for a long time, and like LBJ said, power go where power is. That's why he could be Vice President of the United States. No, and it was only a moment before he become the President of the United States. This is the truth of the matter. We can go back to all the Senate select committees and things like that. I like to give people a good talking to because I like to pray to God, too. I also like to preach that which I know to be the truth, and that is what has been entered into evidence and found to be truthful. Now, there's a lot of ways in which you can come at the truth, and most of them come from doing your homework. We have people like Don Nikoloff and other people like the late Mae Brussels who have helped and left a roadmap for us. And so when you follow it, you see these same cowboys coming up again and again and again, and you say to yourself, is it possible that the only reason they're still around is that they've escaped successful prosecution? Oh, my goodness. Even this thing that they're unraveling with the president right now is kind of crazy. Someone says there's a whole lot of indictments ready to go down, but it seems like they're not going to go down in any timely fashion for us to get a handle on where we're going. I'm telling you, folks, insight. It doesn't seem to bother anybody that we've increased our monetary reserves in an ungodly fashion in a short period of time, and it just don't seem to bother anybody. The bad news is bothering the people in Europe and in Asia to the point where they really are looking at our money as if it was funny and are now wanting to accept something else and will accept something else, and they seem to be giving them something else. Well, enough of that. I got some insight for you. We're into the good news, too. That's what's so wonderful about the Insight Hour. It says, sure, I can remind you of that which is the reality and that which you need to pray on and to prepare for, if there's a way to prepare, because the only way to prepare in a fair game is when the rules are all followed. But we have a point now in history where people are not following the rules, they're not following the fundamentals, they're not following anything. They are manipulating the whole game. So we must pray that this halt stops, that someone comes in and says, nah, we're going to play fair now, and that means is we're going to come clean now, and we got to do something so that our future generation can see a glimmer of hope of inheriting something a little more than what we wanted to leave them. In other words, let's give it up now. I've been saying that a long time. Give it up now. Let's bite the bullet now and survive, pull together, as opposed to creating this false hope. You know, part of the whole thing of the Live H2O is to pay atonement and to find a new way in which to talk. This is the reality of the times. This is that we must find a new voice. And that voice is going to come along clear, because what happens is that there will be proof with the truth. In other words, proof that can be proven over and over and over again. An experiment that is demonstrated over and over and over again. And the effects of that experiment hold true, are of use. Some people say there's only two kinds of people in the world, useful and useless. This could be true. We're into useful things, hydrotechnologies. Oh, my goodness, the things that water can do. Of course, they're out there going nanny, nanny, poo-poo on this and the water car and that. And be careful, don't be scammed and this and that. But the reality is the power of water and the hydrogen bonds that are created with water and oxygen, it's just waiting to be tapped. And it's in tapping that power that will set us free. That's what the live H2O.org concert is about, too. Hydrotechnologies in our tank, in our cars, as well as in our stomachs and our bodies. This juice, yes, let life be water, and let there be life in that water that's beneficial to you, a spirit, you see. You know, they say that in the Bible, they got to Noah, you know, and the promise that God gave Noah is that he's never going to flood us again. He's going to baptize us in the spirit. Well, the spirit may be in those bonds of that which is metaphorically comparable to the flood. The spirit, the Holy Spirit, the juice, yes. And that is the truth as we move towards June 19th through the 21st, where we do our thing for the living waters. That is it. So I've done that. You know, we have and have been talking for some time about the power of silver and oxysilver and the benefits of using it. A lot of people don't wait until you have a problem. Seems to me that when you do your math and you think about the preventative aspects of this particular product, do your homework and you will see that perhaps divided over a long period of time, it may be a good thing to invest in. Dr. Lynn has made it almost as easy as apple pie to get involved in this and to begin to articulate the power of the precious metals inside our bodies. So with the silver, we are able to activate our system to be able to zap, to be able to be electrically, I guess you might say in a way, conducive or conductive to transporting energy, which these here little vipers, viruses, and bacteria don't like. They don't like to be disturbed. They like to be fed. Now, part of the reason why I say, yeah, we coming into that season, here comes Halloween. Oh, my goodness. I challenge you all out there to stay away from evil. Oh, my goodness. This is a holiday. I don't know. Maybe somebody will call in and tell me what the edification of Halloween is as it relates to the candy industry and why it is that we do these things. But I'm hoping for the sake of your health and a kind of prophylactic thought is perhaps to shun this here. Just what if you didn't eat any candy on Halloween? What if you just didn't do it, didn't give it out, and didn't eat any? Boycott candy on October 31st. Take the trick as opposed to the treat. Maybe make the trick not eating the treat. And save yourselves in the coming season. I see a cyclic nature, and so do you, and you can't rationalize away. I mean, a day where everybody dressed up in costume and consumes concreted acid is not my idea of a glorious holiday. This is a terrible thing we do every year, and we have to stop it. And in the name of our economic situation, it seems to me like it would be a good idea for you to save your money as opposed to be spending it on candy and masks, costumes, and all of that. We are a seriously silly society, and we have to outgrow these things. Let's come up with new ways of calling attention to the harvest or calling attention to the beginning of the season. I don't know if you feel the way I do, but I think that Halloween is probably one of the more expendable customs that we could have in this world. And it's not like I want to be a Nazi or anything. It's just a good sound sense. It tells me that this is one of them holidays we should kind of downplay and maybe save up our energy for another holiday or create some kind of holiday that's opposite Halloween. In other words, giving out good things, giving out healing things, sharing and maybe, you know, doing more apple dunking. You know, have more fun that way as opposed to trying to gather up and show how much you love the kids and everything by dropping Hershey bars and things in their bags. That ain't the way to go. But that's just my opinion. And because I'm home alone here in the inside hour, I just thought you'd like to know what's going on in my head as we go into these things. Other thing I'd like to share with you is, yeah, all around there's this tension. I want to make you aware of something. Now, we had a friend that told us that they went to vote. You know, a lot of people are voting early. And it was kind of incredible because she said that when the thing went through the machine, she saw something that that it tripped for McCain as opposed to Obama. Now, I don't know. I wasn't there. But I will tell you this, everybody. If you're voting, please save your little ticket. I know this may sound silly, but it might be that close to where everybody's going to have to get down with the get down, and they're just going to have to, they're going to have to do it vote by vote in the recount. So keep your little receipts. They might be important in the coming future. Definitely if computers are involved and if mechanisms and soul sourcing of the voting is done and if we have learned anything from the past, we know that it is possible and probably highly probable that there'll be some shenanigans going on in this election. But stay calm, stay cool, and keep your receipts, and know that whatever happens, we still have to get up in the morning and go to work. We still don't lose your cool. Don't get angry, because that's when you got the sugar in you and the concreted acid, and now you're angry, you get all that acid going on in your body. Man, it just makes you ripe for all kinds of problems. Whoa. And problems there are a-coming. You know, it's really kind of interesting because when I spoke of Boyd Graves, Dr. Boyd Graves, you know, he's a man who along with Dr. Lynn and a few other people, start hollering about the origins of AIDS being man-made and taking it all the way back to 1971 and Nixon, then taking it even further back to special virus projects and telling us that our government had a hand in developing AIDS and then used the World Health Organization as a tool to disseminate it through the vaccines. What a neat trick. And to this day, everybody's holding their breath and everybody's seeing that more mycoplasma diseases and things that people who didn't have the behaviors are coming down with these serious illnesses and immunological disorders. So it seems like they have decided that there is a World War III, but they won't have to fire a shot. They just inoculated us all. They infected us and then allowed it to spread. So that's why now, even with all of the modern medicines and ways in which people are going, people are still dying from AIDS. They don't have to. You go to Boyd E. Graves, he says the same thing. He says you don't have to. When they created this disease, they also created a cure. Now, ain't that something? They created a cure. You need to go and you need to support Dr. Boyd E. Graves. You need to support people like Dr. Leonard Horowitz, who have been telling you the truth all along. Don't believe the hype. force whoever the next president of the United States is to look into this and to set it straight and to make the cure available and to do the double-blind trials so that we can get down to the get-down, because it's not fair that a Rockefeller Commission should instruct the government to do such heinous things. Kind of interesting about that commission, you know. There's some famous people that sat on that commission that came up with that public law that allowed them to develop this whole thing and disseminate it through the community. And it may not be making sense because you got to do your own homework, but a lot of you insight listeners and people that have been following Dr. Leonard Horowitz understand what I'm saying. Is that if you look at the DNA structure and you look at RNA, ability of RNA messenger type genes to be encapsulated in proteins of other cells and then take on that cell and then infect the next cell and the next cell, that this is how it all works. And then for it to then kind of like mutate automatically, that's another interesting characteristic of it. So it keeps all the health and medical people on their toes. But it started somewhere. And what Boyd E. Graves is saying, and what everybody really needs to look at, is look at the, how the whole thing is made up. And when he looked at it all, he saw that there was sheep virus on this here gene and this here little thing that they had designed. And there was rat genes there for breast cancer on there and other things, mammary cancers and stuff. And they put it all together. Well, he's saying that in nature, that never could have happened. The only way it could have happened was in a laboratory. Now, I know we're all sheeples, and it's really easy sometimes to just ignore the truth. It took a long time for the black community to see that they were truly a targeted population. They started out with just gay folks, and the black folks said, well, that's okay, because, you know, that's a white gay man's disease. They're the ones that are dying. But the reality of it was is that our community was targeted, and now today black women are leading the death toll in terms of how many are infected and will carry on with this disease. But that's really a point that one can argue and argue until the cows come home in terms of how. But what's really beautiful is that if you type in and go to Boyd's, Dr. Boyd E. Graves' website, you can see there that he says there's a cure. Now, he's taken that cure, and as of, and he was diagnosed with it, I think he took the cure sometime in the 80s? No, maybe not, in the 90s. But as of 2003, when I listened to one of his lectures, he said he had been diagnosed, 10 years before that, and then he took the cure. And as of October 2007, he's refiling the case against the United States government for the development of of AIDS. He's still alive. So there must be something to what he's saying, and there must be something to the cure, too. So for those of you who may be curious, for those of you who may have, he says, come on, folks, go and do your homework. Go to the U.S. patent office and look up the cure for AIDS. Yeah. It's called Tetracil. Dr. Leonard Horowitz knows a lot about it. I'm not going to really speak on it. You can go to Boyd E. Graves' website and get all that information, the public laws that brought the AIDS virus to us, how it was developed, the special weapons, virus program at Fort Detrick, which is also another place where we talk about anthrax. This is our government. But anyhow, it's not a conspiracy. And certainly AIDS is not a conspiracy. Being talked to. I'm being distracted. Isn't that terrible? But I will get back to you in a second. What exactly are you trying to tell me? Oh, yeah, they were telling me. I have a little audience here, so they were saying, don't forget to mention Len's book. And I said, of course, yes, AIDS and Ebola, the origin of AIDS. That's where you can get a lot of information on it. Also, just looking over everything that's going on in the world today, I would say we need to revisit a lot of the people that have been talking to us. I say you got to revisit Stan Myers and find out about the water feud car, finding out about the future of hydraulics and whatnot. I also want to talk a little bit about the cards. You know, we've been doing a lot with the cards, and they've been absolutely astounding in understanding why days go the way they go, like tomorrow. Tomorrow is a really hard day, folks, so I want you to be prepared. Stay close, pray a lot, and go easy on everybody, because it's just going to be a tough day tomorrow. I'm just saying that because we'll see. I don't want it to be a tough day, so maybe I shouldn't say it. That's the secret. Also want to talk about what we get ready to do over here on the Big Island. Oh, yeah, we got a retreat coming up at the end of the year, and we're busy getting the spa all together, and the steam is so hot and so good. Oh, my goodness, anybody that's going to be over here, you just got to come and become involved. I know we have some people that are coming, and we've got some really great people lined up to do some incredible things for you while you're here. Plus, it is the busiest retreat of retreats because Dr. Glenn certainly does give you opportunity to treat yourself to the beautiful Big Island. I don't know if anybody out there can hear, but I've got the wildlife and tropical life out here serenading me. This is BBSRadio.com, and this is the Insight Hour, and I am Reverend Roxy, home alone. Not making it up as I go along, just trying to come off the top of my head as brilliantly as I can and fill this hour. It's kind of hard sometimes because I don't have a guest, and I was hoping maybe somebody would call in and keep me company for a while, but it don't look like that's going to happen anytime soon. So I just have to keep on going because this is talk radio, and if I don't talk, then there'd be dead silence. Well, it wouldn't be dead silence because I do have these cokey frogs out here to keep you company. You would hear them. Anyhow, was I prepared for this evening's presentation? Not really, because I don't really have much to say tonight, but I'm going to keep on talking, and I'm hoping maybe somebody will put me out of their misery and come and ask a question or do something. If not, I might even just start singing, which is something I love to do and something that happens all the time. And I may just start singing, but no, I'm not going to do that. I am going to tell you, and I am at a loss for words, but I'm not going to stop talking because that would make dead air. Well, I hope Dr. Len's not listening tonight because I really miss him a lot. Boy, it's much better when I have a second. Yeah, well, this isn't funny. I have to continue. Let me see, what are we going to talk about? Hey, everybody out there that's listening to me, what could I possibly talk about now? I could talk about myself. Who am I? Well, I'm Reverend Roxy. I'm the Prime Minister of the Royal Bloodline of David in the Kingdom of Heaven. What does that mean? It means that I get to live in paradise. That's where I am. I'm on the beautiful Big Island. What's it like to live on the Big Island? Oh, my goodness. Well, it depends on where your attentions turn. Mine turns to the jungle. Other people's turns to the ocean. We do have the most beautiful blue ocean out here. And dolphins still swim up and down the coastline. And you can actually see them from the street where I live. Yeah, that's it. I'm that close. I'm right by the ocean. I can hear it. So there's never silence for me. I've got noise. Anyhow, Dr. Leonard Horowitz is going to be back, and you can tell them all how much I miss him, because I miss him. He's in Sedona. Isn't he lucky? I wish he would call, but he's not going to call, because he's not listening. You are. So maybe you should call. Call, help me out here. Somebody, help me. I'm a brilliant individual, but usually when I'm bouncing off of somebody. Yep, that's what a co-host is all about. Well, anyhow, this seems like a marathon, but it'll all be over soon. Maybe even Don Nikoloff is listening to me and wants to call and explain to me why it is that that Obama and McCain might actually be maybe not even be able to be eligible for this presidential election. I find that to be quite interesting. I hope you all do, too. I don't know who's on as his guest tonight, but I'm sure he'll have a guest. Maybe that guest wants to call in and talk to me. I don't know. Anyhow, usually I'm prepared, but not. I've been in this here race here on the island, so I've been really busy. And today I kind of edged and I said to myself, what could I possibly talk about that would feel good? You know, and I said, well, it feels good to still have some money in the bank. Some people don't have that. We could be like Iceland, you know, and not have any money at all, nothing to buy, not the stores, shops are empty. I don't know. Could that possibly happen to America? I hope not. But it seems like with all these bailouts and everything, somebody's going to have to dance to the piper and pay for the music. Or is it the other way around? I'm not sure. You pay for the music and dance with the piper. Oh, well, this is one of those shows. Well, let's see what time it is. Oh, it's 6:32 p.m. to be exact, which means I only have 20 more minutes to talk. Oh, come on, somebody, please call in. But if you're not going to call in, let me tell you again. We do have an opportunity for you, and that's OxySilver. I could tell you to go to OxySilver.com and just sign up and get yourself one of those little websites that Dr. Len likes to talk about, and then start telling your friends, because even if you tell your friends and they buy, it's not so much that as that they win when they buy. That's what's so incredible about it. And they can get it for a good price, so check it out, because that's a way in which you can stay ahead of all these viruses and nasty little bugs that are created. Oh, my goodness, I am so happy. Hello, who's that?
This is Doug. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, I'm doing fine now that you called. I love to talk to people.
Yeah, I heard you talking about Hawaii. I lived there for a while. Where on the Big Island are you?
Oh, me, the Witness Relocation Program won't allow me to tell you that. No, I'm only kidding.
Well, I don't think that will cause any problem. I just, you know, it's a big island.
No, it's a big island, I know. I'm on the east side in Pahoa.
Oh, cool. All right.
Where did you live?
Well, I'm in Austin right now, but I lived years ago on Oahu in up in Aiea Heights, actually. So it looks right down on Pearl Harbor. So.
Oh, yeah. But you're in Austin?
Yeah, I'm in
Texas.
Austin, Texas right now, right?
Oh, that's one of my favorite places. You guys got a good public access studios over there in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in Austin. I'm frankly looking forward to getting out of the state because the dummy we got for president's about to make it his residence back here again, and I don't want to be in the same place that he is.
Oh my goodness! Does he hang out in Austin a lot?
Well, not in Austin, but he's here in Texas, and you know I don't want to have nothing to do with him. So,
well, may I ask you, who are you going to vote for, Doug, for president of the United States? Have you given it any thought?
Yeah, I'm going to talk, but that's private between me and myself. Sorry, I don't talk about that with people.
Ah, so do you have any questions for me or were you just answering my plea to call in and talk, or is there something you want to talk about?
No, what I was doing was getting ready to hear the guy that's going to be on right after you because, you know, some things that he and I were chatting about, and I tuned in early just to get everything up and running, and I heard your plight, and I figured, hey, she's from Hawaii. I've been there. We'll chat for a minute.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Doug. So there's a guy that's going to come on a Don Nikoloff show, Evident Footprints, right?
He's going to be on the air with Mr. Anthony or something tonight. And he and I were chatting about a topic, and he was going to talk about that, so I was going to just listen in, is all.
Well, clue me in. What's the topic about?
I'm going to leave that for his show as well. I'm sorry. I can't get into that. That's up to him whether he's going to bring up what we were discussing tonight or not. It's not for sure that he's going to. So I can't get into that until he goes and does it. So
you're not even going to tell me? You're going to just tell me his name is Anthony?
No, I'm just telling you there's a gentleman, some or another Anthony, that's going to be on his show. And that's got nothing to do with the topic that he and I were discussing just a little while ago that Don and I were talking about on the phone. And he asked me to listen to the show. And he was debating whether he was going to bring up a specific topic or not. So I'm going to wait and see if he does.
Oh, well, you just piqued my interest.
Good, maybe you'll. Well,
you're a man of secrets over there in Austin, Texas.
I can't. What time is it over there in Hawaii right now?
Huh?
What time is it in Hawaii?
Oh, it's early. It isn't even 7 o'clock yet. It's like okay. 6:20. No, right now. Let me look.
6:30.
Right now it is 6:36.
Yeah, it's 11:36 here. Okay, I'm just trying to get it. It's been a long time since I lived there. It's a great place, isn't it? How long have you been there?
Oh, I've been here 14 years.
Oh, my God.
You know.
I only lived there for 3 years myself, and I actually ended up with rock fever and had to kind of move off the place. But
yeah, the Big Island's a little different than Oahu. It's way more jungly and not as many people, a lot more rural agricultural areas, and then Kona.
yeah, there's a... I can't remember. It's been such a long time ago, because this was back in the 80s when I lived there, but there was a lady that I met there that would eventually move to the Big Island, and she worked at one of the resorts. I don't even remember the name of it. That's been so long ago. But she started an orchid farm, or that was her goal, and she just started something small, and I always wondered, you know, if it ended up becoming, you know, as big as she wanted it to be, if she had the initiative to go do it. I just, you know, never looked back. I have never been back there, so I don't know if it happened or not, but it's always kind of curious. So one of these days I'll go back to the Big Island and roam around and see if I can find an orchid farm with her heading it up.
Yeah, because there are a lot of orchid farmers over here.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Over here, yeah. It's a big business.
I
think flowers is one of the biggest exports we have.
I miss the rainbows. You know, you get up and drive and the mist that kind of happens that, you know, in the mornings and stuff and, you know, over the different valleys and stuff, there'd be all the rainbows. It's beautiful over there.
Oh, yeah, definitely over here we have rainbows. In fact, on Dr. Len's property, we have rainbows in the morning and rainbows in the afternoon. I mean, it's just all day long. It just crosses across the property. And because of the steam that's coming up from underneath, the geothermal steam is coming up on the property, you get all these glorious rainbows all the time. It's really beautiful.
That's great. So what took you over to Hawaii? You didn't, you know, you've been there 14 years, so you obviously weren't there from the beginning. So, because the reason I asked that question is while I was there, I was actually doing some consulting work for a company, and one of the biggest problems they had was attracting you know, families to come there because, you know, the men were working all day long, you know, pretty much, and the ladies, you know, a lot of them were staying home taking care of the kids and everything, and they had to deal at a much closer cultural relationship with the locals, and during those years, at least, the primarily Chinese and certainly some of the native Hawaiians just weren't really completely happy with all the haoles that were coming over from the mainland, and they, you know, and they, especially the women would make the women feel uncomfortable, and I've actually heard some cases of the kids doing the same thing, and so the women and the children seemed to be impacted by the culture much more strongly and negatively than the men were at work, and so therefore the men usually wanted to stay, but the women and some of the children wanted to leave, and so naturally a lot of them didn't spend, you know, long careers on the island because the women and the kids didn't feel comfortable. I wonder if you run into any of that.
Oh, no. Basically, I'm black, and so popolos, as they call them in Hawaii, don't have it as hard as haoles, which is what they call white folks, haoles. There's more of a prejudice against the haoles than there is against the popolos. So I've enjoyed here on the Big Island somewhat of a respite from that kind of racism that I experienced on the mainland. I don't get it over here. And for that reason, I've been able to get involved culturally with the Hawaiians and have enjoyed my 14 years here in service and quietude, basically, which I'd never really enjoyed on the mainland, if you know what I mean.
Oh, sure, absolutely. You know, I was there as a single guy myself, you know, just working on a project and everything, and then liked it so much I decided to stay and started a business and spent some, you know, I stayed as long as I wanted to stay is what it came down to, but, and I never really ran into that other than because I was doing consulting work for this one company, I saw you know, the revolving door, basically, that they were very reluctant to hire somebody from the mainland if they had a family because of what I just shared with you.
Yeah, yes. It is true. It is true. It goes on. I think there's less of it here on the Big Island than there is on the island of Oahu.
I agree with that, too. There's a lot of cultural crazy stuff that goes on Oahu that doesn't. Maui was my favorite. The Big Island was my second favorite. And then, you know, Oahu, where I was actually staying, was my least favorite, but that's where I was working. So.
Yeah, I liked Maui, too. That Maui is entertainment and music and a wealth of tourism that goes through there.
There's another thing, too. Just like you were talking about, Leonard is off in Sedona. I've also lived there for a couple of years, and there's incredible energies there that go on that you talk about those things, but until you go experience them, you know, just it's hard to even describe to people. And Maui had an energy about it. It was a softer, quieter, more peaceful energy than Sedona. Sedona was a more intense kind of energy that went on. And every time I went to Maui, it was just a really good feeling. You always come away feeling better than when you went.
Yeah, I agree with you. Boy, I am so happy that you called. You've grounded me. I've been able to get through the next 5 minutes. I have to go to 6:55. Well, I don't have to, but I would definitely encourage you to stay in there and hang in there with me here. Is there a question I have for you in terms of what might be going on good in Austin, Texas, that you could share?
I don't know. There's a lot of people who really, really love Austin. I actually had a business headquarters here years and years ago, and during the early years of Austin, I really liked it, but Austin is going through what a lot of cities are in Texas. You know, they're growing too fast. There's too much population going on, and they're building too many roads. And actually, they're doing the crazy toll road thing here, which is driving everybody nuts. And so it's just not the same place, and I'm really looking forward to getting out of Texas. I no longer want to live in Texas, so I'm moving towards, you know, moving myself away from this place. So.
Well, it's kind of interesting because a lot of people are so fed up with America that they're actually leaving the country. Have you gotten to the point where you might have thought about leaving the country itself?
Very much so. I lived in Australia I got there on July 4th, actually, of 2000, and left there about 3.5 years later, and actually met my wife there. And I came back to the mainland because of my mother became sick and terminally ill, and being the oldest son, I came home to deal with all of that. And then we got back, and I had a back injury and a whole lot of other things that took place, so we ended up staying here longer than we wanted to. But I have been hanging out just to try to help awaken what we call the sheeple with what's going on, and try to get the country back on track and to make being called American a proud thing once again, because I no longer feel proud of this country. Or actually, it's not so much the country, it's the sheeple walking around in it that are not aware of what's really going on, and that's a little frightening. And they seem so unwilling to pay attention to what's going on and to, you know, fund and be behind a system of government that's doing more harm than good. And it's just a shame. The whole thing is a shame as far as I'm concerned, and I'd like to see all that change. And there's a lot of people that are aware of what's going on and trying to change. Frankly, a lot of them's in talk radio. So it'll be interesting to see. But I've got all my stuff down to a level where, I mean, I could get on a plane tomorrow and what I would leave behind wouldn't bother me a bit, and I've done that intentionally. Because I wasn't sure what was really happening here.
Whoa, we got another caller.
Great. Let me let you go, and then you have fun with them.
All right. Thank you, Doug. Hello, who's that? Hello? Oh, no.
Ben.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
You don't recognize this voice?
Oh, hi, Don.
You called out. I was getting busy signals all over the place, so
Oh my goodness,
through.
I'm so happy to hear you. We just had a caller on who said he was just surfing and had shown up early at BBF and was actually going to be listening to your show and that you had a guest on that he was interested in. Then he wouldn't tell me who the guest was, so I'm hoping that you'll tell me who you have on tonight.
Oh, that's Michael Anthony tonight.
Michael Anthony, the guy that gives away all the money?
yeah, he's been accused of that. yes.
Well, please, you know, have you been listening to this show? I have been begging people to call me because I have no topic tonight, and Dr. Len was off in Sedona, lucky devil that he is.
Yeah. I've been listening about the last half hour. Actually, your caller was doing quite a great job.
Yes, he was. I'm sorry he left.
But I wanted to touch base. You know, I have to invite you back on to Evident Footprints in November here. And so get ready for that, okay?
Oh, I would love to come on in November. November is my favorite time of, in terms of talking about the government and what they possibly can do, you know.
Yeah, let's do something before this election, if we can.
Oh my goodness! And yes, because I've got some thoughts, and I want to hear more about. Well, Don, I have just a moment here. Will you please?
You're cool. You're all right. I'm watching the clock. You're all right. I'll tell you when you're ready.
Will you please explain to me exactly what this Obama and McCain and their births. Where this is at right now, because I know you've been doing a lot of research on it. Well, where is it at right now?
Well, you know, I'm an American, you're an American, in fact, probably most of the people listening to the show in the United States are Americans, and they can easily whip out a certificate of live birth and prove, you know, that they were born here. It seems to me that both McCain and Obama should be able to do that in a heartbeat. The Congress or the Senate had to have a special session to authorize McCain to run as a president. Now, if I was nominated by a political party to run, there would be no question as to whether I was an American or not. They wouldn't have to have that special session. So what the heck is the game they're playing? And the issue of McCain, just in the nutshell for anyone that hasn't read my research, is that I discovered a presidential order on December 17, 1941, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt instructed the engineers at Coca-Cola Naval Base in the Panama Canal Zone to mark the boundaries to build a naval base hospital. The hospital McCain claims he was born in on August 29, 1936, did not exist. So he couldn't have been born there, okay? And his parents are not Americans. They were secreted into the U.S. Navy as spies, okay? And I'm going to stick to that story because all the evidence shows that. He has not refuted that evidence, and he doesn't dare refute it because he'll be proven wrong simply by President Roosevelt's Executive Order Number 8981. Anybody can look that up. Now, Obama's situation is even worse. He's a man without a country. He's claiming he's born in Hawaii. You're in Hawaii. Can you find anybody in Hawaii that knows he was born there? They're covering that up like crazy. I mean, that's sealed tighter than a brand new highway. And then you've got the issue that Bill Berg filed the lawsuit that he found a birth certificate in the name of Barack Obama Sr., and claiming that Obama was born in Mombasa, Kenya. We also know that there's another certificate filed in the name of Lolo Satoro in Indonesia, and I found plenty of evidence to show that he is more likely from Papua New Guinea than he is from Kenya, that this is another yarn, like the Kansas yarn. In fact, within the last 2 days, I discovered that Stanley Ann Dunham, supposedly from Kansas, actually went to kindergarten at a school called Kindernook in War Acres, Oklahoma. And I know definitively that Grandma and Grandpa Dunham were both CIA agents. So there's some interesting things coming out here. This is in the last 2 days I found this out. The same, I couldn't put it in my article, but I got a new article coming out. So Mr. Obama's got some problems. I can basically debunk everything in his autobiography.
So do you think that they know all of this and that they're going to let it out after the election so that he's ineligible to continue to be president of the United States?
Yeah. Well, let's see who comes out the winner in the election. You know, let's see if we even have an election, actually.
Ooh, darn.
Okay. Let's see if we even have one. Remember, this article I'm writing is called The Three Stooges Go to Washington, and we still got one more to write about.
Uh-huh.
And I've gone down the rabbit hole on her background. And it's just as crazy. Maybe even more so. So,
wow. Well, Don Nikoloff, thank you for coming to my aid. Thank you, Doug, for coming to my aid. Thank you, Len, for allowing me to host the Inside Hour. We've come down to the end at 6:52. I've got 3 minutes. Don, tell me something about your guest that's coming on in the next hour.
Well, Michael Anthony is a patriot. He is a historian. He is a man of God, like you are a woman of God. We're all God's children. He's someone who knows it, lives it, breathes it, and preaches it. And he's an herbologist and a very accomplished musician. And we're going to talk about a lot of different things. You know, he's very up on not just my research, but what's going on in a lot of areas. Got a lot of really valuable information to share, and a lot of solutions. He's someone that, if anyone out there in your listening audience or my listening audience is looking for long-lasting solutions to sound health, he'll lay it out just like it is. And, you know, I had Dr. B on last night, and he kind of did the same thing. Very different styles, but I have a feeling at some time we're all going to be working together.
Oh, I could see a whole forum, I mean a conference of all these wonderful dynamic people coming together and sharing. I mean, I listened to Dr. B. You had him on about a week and a half ago, and I found him to be just a delightful individual and
mm-hmm.
very informative.
Yeah,
well,
he was on last night, and you know, we're doing a 2-hour show now, so
oh, you are?
Real intense, yeah. And you got to call in once in a while.
I will, but you know, your guests are just so fascinating that I just like listening. I mean, you know, I really like listening. But with this Tuesday, I would like to meet up with you Tuesday and maybe before that. But Tuesday, definitely would love to have a say on what's happening on our election night.
All right, I'll put you on the schedule. You're booked for Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, everybody stay tuned for Don Nikoloff and Evident Footprints. He is Michael Anthony on his show. I want to thank you all for helping me out here and making this 55 minutes just go away. So with that, another one's in the case. Look forward to Dr. Len coming back and with his brilliant mind to fill in the time. And everybody just have a great week. And I'll be listening, Don, so perhaps I will call in with a question or two and or a little tidbit on history, because I, too, love to lace history in with our now time. All right. Well, with that, I say aloha.